The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish, just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On March 15th, we were all stunned, along with the whole world, as we began to hear news reports about a shooting in Christchurch, New Zealand. A man with a gun entered a mosque during a prayer service. He walked into the room where the men were praying, and he began shooting people, and then he walked into the room where the women were praying, and he shot a number of people in that room, and then he drove 3 miles to another mosque, and he shot more people there. I know you've all been hearing about it over and over again on the TV and the radio and in the papers. 50 people died on that day. And along with giving all the horrifying details of the events of that day, the number of dead and wounded and the arrests and the description of the weapons that were used, over and above all the facts, the big question that everybody was trying to answer was why? Why did a human being do such an inhuman thing? Why did he choose these particular people as his victims? Why did it happen? In chapter 13 of Luke's Gospel, the reading that we just read today, some people came to Jesus with a news report of a horrifying event that's very similar to that shooting in Christchurch. Apparently there had been a feast in Jerusalem where sacrifices were being offered in the temple. People were assembled to offer prayers to God on that day, and Pilate had sent his soldiers into the temple, and they murdered a number of men from Galilee. We don't know exactly when this happened. We don't know how many died. And most of all, we don't know why Pilate had those people killed. So many deaths that the blood flowed in the temple and mingled with the blood of the goats and the sheep and the cows that had been sacrificed that day. But why? Why did it happen? Why did those men, those particular men, suffer such a terrible death? That was the question that those people were bringing to Jesus as they brought the terrible news to him. And so Jesus turned it around and asked them a question. Do you think that because those particular Galileans suffered such a horrible death, it means they were worse sinners than any ordinary run-of-the-mill Galilean? And then Jesus brought up another recent disaster from the local news reports. What about those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam collapsed on them? Do you think they were unusually wicked people as compared to other people living in Jerusalem? He asks those questions because it is a universal human reaction to assume somewhere deep down that if such a terrible thing happens, there must have been a reason. They must have done something wrong. We might be truly sorry for the victims and especially for their families, but at the same time, somewhere deep down, people tend to think that somebody was getting what was coming to them. Because these things don't just happen, do they? And we can certainly see that kind of thinking in action after the shooting in New Zealand, after people had begun to recover just from the sheer shock of the whole thing. The media and the general public jumped into figuring out that why. People pointed out that most of the worshipers assembled on that day were fairly recent immigrants to New Zealand. People pointed out that because of that large influx of immigrants, the percentage of Muslims in the population had increased suddenly. People pointed out that these mosques, the Al Nur Mosque, the Linwood Mosque, they were peaceful, which was a subtle way of pointing out that not all Muslims are peaceful, because we all know about ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and everybody knows the terrible things that are associated with those Muslims. There's not a single sane person who would have come out and said that the men and women and children of those mosques deserve to be murdered, and our hearts just grieved when we saw the pictures of the survivors weeping, comforting each other, some of them covered in blood. But a lot of good and compassionate people, I would guess, were tempted to think that there must surely have been some reason behind those senseless deaths. There had to be more going on than just the slaughter of innocent people. Sorting out our inner thoughts, our motivations, is a very murky and confusing process. And we are hard-pressed to get to the bottom of our own hearts. And I think the truth is that only God can do that. But fortunately for us, Jesus cut through all the soul-searching and all the figuring out and all the finger-pointing with his question. Do you think that those poor people deserve the terrible things that happened to them? No, of course not. And then, as he so often does, he added something very unsettling. He said, but I'll tell you one thing. If you don't repent, your end will be the same as theirs. This is not a comfortable reading, I don't think. Jesus always had this way of turning people's questions around. So the people who thought they were asking a question about somebody else's problems suddenly found out they were looking into a mirror. And a lot of times he did that with a story. When a lawyer came to Jesus one time to ask him which people he had to count as his neighbors, Jesus told him a story about being a neighbor. When a Pharisee was wondering if Jesus knew that that woman sitting at his feet and weeping had a pretty bad reputation, Jesus told him a little story about love and gratitude. And just the same thing happened here. When those people came to tell Jesus about a terrible thing that had happened to those Galileans, asking why it happened to them, Jesus told them a story about paying attention to their own living instead of trying to pass judgment on the deaths of other people. There was a man, he said, who planted a fig tree in his garden, and he watched it grow a year, 2 years. And on the third year, in the summer, he came to see that tree, and his mouth was just watering for those juicy, sweet figs. And there was not a single fig on the tree. So that man told his gardener, go ahead and chop that thing down. It's not worth the space it's taking up in the garden. But the gardener had been taking care of that tree. He was not ready to give up on it yet. Give me another year, he said. Let me loosen up the soil around its roots. Let me give it a good feeding of manure. See if it doesn't bear fruit next year. After all, then you can do what you want. When Jesus tells us that we need to repent, we tend to think that he's telling us we need to be sorry for something, for being bad. He wants us to feel, we think he's telling us to feel regret, to feel remorse. And that is what the English word repentance means, but that's not the word that Jesus is using. The word he's using is metanoia, which means changing the way we think. It means a change of mind. It's just what Paul was telling us to do when he says, don't be conformed. Don't let your mind be shaped by the way the world thinks. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when Jesus was telling those people, repent, he was telling them to be transformed in their thinking, transformed in the way they were understanding. And he told this story of the fig tree to help transform the way they were thinking. Repent, first of all, Jesus was telling them, from passing judgment. Don't be so quick to cut that tree down. The suffering of your brother or sister is not a punishment because he or she was more sinful than everybody else. Suffering happens because we live in a broken world. Suffering happens to everybody. Death comes to everybody, one way or another, sooner or later. Sayyad Milne was one of the 50 people who died in the Al-Nur Mosque on March 15th. He was 14 years old. He liked strawberry Nutella waffles. He liked playing soccer. He had great hopes of playing professionally someday. There was no reason for Sayyad's death. He didn't deserve for his life to be cut short. There was no logic to it except that he lived in a broken world where somebody was so filled with hate that he did what was unreasonable. He did what was unthinkable. God does not desire anybody's death for payback. The world would have you think so, but it is not true. God forgives our sin, and he works, and he watches eagerly and patiently for signs of life in every person. Just like that gardener dug and fertilized and cared for the fig tree and would not give up on it. John the Baptist used the same image when he preached to the crowds who come to be baptized. He said, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. You came here to turn away from your sins, now live like you turned away. After the shooting in Christchurch, the members of the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh raised thousands of dollars to aid the families and the friends of the victims, the shooting in New Zealand. They understood the suffering of those people because a few months before, they were victims of a shooting themselves, an act of hatred that took the lives of 11 of their members. And after the shooting that they had that had happened to them in the Tree of Life Synagogue, the members of the Islamic Central Cultural Center of Quebec City had traveled to Pittsburgh to offer support and sympathy. They understood the suffering of the people in Pittsburgh because back in January 2017, a gunman had broken in and killed 6 of their members. None of these people were Christians. They were Jews and Muslims, peoples with a centuries-old tradition in the world of animosity and violence. But those people chose life over death. They chose compassion over judgment. They lived out that good and perfect will of God. They bore good fruit. Hatred and fear and judgment always deal out death, but life always produces more life. That's what fruit is all about. That's why Jesus uses that image of fruit. The fruit of a plant, an apple or an apricot, is the part of the plant that bears the seed from which more life can come. It is really easy to become overwhelmed by hearing about all these deaths, these and more. So much suffering, so much hatred, so much loss. It's easy to become bitter. It's easy to become afraid. We can keep on asking why till the cows come home. We can look around for somebody to pin the blame on. Or we can repent Jesus style. We can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Instead of judging each other, we can look at each other with compassion. Instead of giving up on life, we can be givers of life. God's fruitful people, not in our own strength, but as we're cultivated and nurtured by the Master Gardener, who said, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Amen.